You're watching Single Process with Bob and Joe. We've created this series of videos to help you navigate the difficult process of divorce. We hope they're helpful to you. In this episode, we're going to discuss the financial aspects of alimony.
Yeah, which is very different from the legal side of alimony, right?
Which we've covered and we've understood what's out there. But I don't understand why, from a financial perspective, you choose monthly payments over a lump sum, if that's an option to you.
Right. I have no idea. So we're going to talk to a certified divorce financial analyst.
You got it.
Loretta Hutchinson is with us. She is a certified divorce financial analyst with her master's in counseling and training in collaborative divorce. She has a company called the Financial Divorce Plan, and she helps clients make smart financial decisions during and after divorce. Loretta, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
All right, Loretta. So people go to court, they're looking for alimony, one party most of the time. Mm-hmm. And do you take it or do you look for a payout? You know, just
you're talking
take
about like
the
a lump
cash,
sum.
Like
yeah,
a lump
take
sum.
Take the cash. Or do you want to allocate it over
Show
time?
Me the money.
Right.
Well, I have to tell you, again, it's very specific to the case. There might be some cases, some divorces, where there aren't assets to give in lieu of alimony, in which case it's not really a choice.
That's not even really a
yeah,
choice.
Yeah, it's not something to discuss. But that said, if there is, often I recommend my clients look at taking a lump sum.
What are the advantages?
Maybe 2 years of alimony, because the transition can be sort of uncomfortable.
That's a good idea. Take a couple years up front.
We can't go back and renegotiate our divorces.
Can we renegotiate that?
Have you signed it yet?
Yes.
And the reason for that is there's not a huge lump sum, because the other party might not want to be giving up that much of the assets up front. Because, you know, alimony isn't necessarily a sure thing. So I've worked
with... What do you mean by that?
Well, I've worked with many women, and again, and individuals divorcing, and I work with them long term. And so they may be promised, you know, a couple $1,000s a month in alimony, and then afterwards, everything's signed, a year and a half, she's getting her payments, and then all of a sudden, he loses his job.
Isn't there still an obligation to pay at that
There
point?
Is an obligation to pay, but what can happen is, right, what can happen is he can go and get it modified. Sometimes it is called non-modifiable, but a lot of times your income is based on his ability to earn an income.
Are you always guaranteed alimony? Is there something like lifetime alimony after a certain... It's more of a legal question,
That is more of a legal question, but... Alimony is not guaranteed. It's like anything else. Things can happen. Okay. One of the important things that I always say to my clients is make sure that whoever is paying you alimony is insured for whatever they owe you. Okay.
Insured.
So there's a life policy on the alimony payer.
Never heard that.
With the beneficiary being the alimony recipient.
Well, you just triggered a thought. What about if in the event of someone's death? I mean, you know, not only do they lose their job, is that what you're talking about?
Insurance absolutely.
In the event of death or in the event of disability?
Both. There is actually, disability payments can be a little bit pricey relative to the alimony. So you have to do the risk and reward thing there. But for those high alimony payers, disability insurance might be a way to go as well. Yeah,
okay. So back to lump sum payment, because it's a more guaranteed bird in the hand, right?
Right. Yeah. So you have to look at it from both sides of the picture, though. So it is more of a guarantee to the person receiving it, right? A bird in your hand is worth two in the bush. Isn't that the phrase? It's not necessarily exactly what you would get in alimony either. So you have to back out the taxes and, you know, what's worth it today is not worth it as much tomorrow. So it doesn't end up being your exact alimony payments. It's usually
so
a bit less.
Is there almost like a reduction of the lump sum versus the alimony?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you wouldn't get dollar for dollar the same
right.
amount.
Right. And sometimes there's that negotiation that says, okay, if I'm going to give you a lump sum, I want a percentage just off the top because alimony is not guaranteed, but this lump sum is, and you're getting it.
Okay.
So there's a negotiation. There's a little bit of a negotiation in there. So,
but you also potentially give up an upside, right? What happens if he suddenly gets a promotion and, or she gets a promotion and they're suddenly earning a ton more and you're getting a percentage of their income?
Mm-hmm. So again, it's you have to look at it two ways. The other thing is too, a lot of individuals are ready to move on, and that alimony payment just keeps them sort of connected at the hip for a little while. And what happens is, let's say, you know, the alimony, she gets a healthy alimony and she's okay with it, right? She's okay not being able to marry, because generally alimonies that, you know, stops upon marriage
or
cohabitation.
That's another reason to take a lump sum, right?
Yeah, it is.
But let's say she, you know, he or she meets someone and they live quite a nice lifestyle. They're not living together. They're not married, but they travel a lot. They both, you know, he or she has money and they're spending it together. And, you know, the alimony payer is still writing that check. And it feels uncomfortable.
I've heard a lot of people say they don't want to deal with their former spouse every month getting that check. They're willing to take a hit on the lump sum just to not deal.
Yes, because it can turn into a sort of a passive aggressive way of
control.
Yes.
Yeah.
And which, quite honestly, I think that's probably been part of the issue anyway.
Yeah.
Generally is.
To talk about child support, I mean, what's the difference other than the obvious? One is child support and one is...
Yeah, and I'm sure you've talked about this with, you know, some tax experts, but it's taxed differently. Alimony is generally taxed to the person who receives it and deducted by the person who pays it. And child support is the opposite. You do not have to pay taxes on it when you receive that for the children.
I waived alimony to take all child support because of that issue.
Okay, and that can make sense when you look at the numbers. That absolutely might make sense. Again, I want everybody to know that it's very case specific. You can't necessarily say that's what I want and it makes sense for you.
These are all wonderful questions to raise
going
into it, because you see that the universe is a little bigger than your lawyer or mediator might let you know.
Yeah, no, totally.
And you know, and it's interesting, you say, we've talked about this previously, is where do you get your information on divorce? It's usually, you know, somebody at the beauty salon or a friend of a friend, and there are always horror stories. And
yes, they are. Yeah. You never heard anybody go, I had the best divorce
ever.
And so, and a lot of it is misinformation, right? And it's trickle down, you know, whisper down the lane kind of information. And it's not very specific to your situation. So it's really important that you get educated about it in general, but know that your case is very specific and we, you know, your team needs to work on it with you.
Terrific. Another reason to have a financial planner in the mix.
A certified divorce. A
financial analyst.
Analyst. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
For more information on this segment and other resources, log into singleprocess.me.